Welcome back to Rude Dude.
Welcome to the Rude Dude Recovery Podcast with your host and resident wet brains, Cam and Hen, two dudes navigating the waves of wellness. Thanks for being here. On today's episode, the dude sits down with his soon-to-be wife and the most featured Rude Dude guest and fan favorite, Kristen. They talk about their wedding plans, excitement and trepidation, the keys to the success of their relationship and communication, and the differences between men and women. Please enjoy Season 2, Episode 11 of the Rude Dude Paw. Welcome back to the Rude Dude Podcast, the show that puts some pep in your step, takes some weight off your plate, and reminds you haters are gonna hate, but you are loved. I am your host, Henny Lokes the Lobster, with my esteemed fill-in co-host and soon-to-be Mrs. Sheridan in about 2 weeks, K-Dot, young Kristen. I don't have any cool nicknames for you. How are you there, Kay?
I am great. I was going to do the intro, but Henry feels like he can just still do it better.
Well, I do the intro, so this is going to be great. I can already tell. Well, my esteemed co-host, Cameron, has once again been swallowing swords, licking toilet seats, and sleeping on farted on pillows, and is on his last leg buying $15 pennies off of auction sites, calling out of work to buy 1800s OnlyFans models used underwear. So today we have my beautiful fiance, Kristen, and
your other partner.
My other partner. Yep. Yeah. I usually record with my husband, but today I have my wife. So we just thought that we would come on, since we just talked about resolving conflicts in relationships, I would have her come on and tell you guys what a liar I am, because I don't do any of those things. First of all, how are you today? How are you feeling?
I'm good. We had a good day running around, running errands, being productive. So always brings a little bit of joy, a little spark of energy.
We had a very married couple weekend. First, we worked on a yard project all day Saturday and bailed on plans with friends, even though they kind of bailed. But
we also did stuff on Friday with friends, which is unusual for us.
Very uncharacteristic. Shout out to Joey and Genesee. And then today we did errands and we looked for wedding bands.
We did.
And I refused to pay K Jewelers $250 for a tungsten ring. And I'm trying to buy one for $13 off Amazon. But
I just don't think that's, I mean, saving money is important, but I don't know if being that frugal on your wedding band is the best.
I think Cameron might back me on the $12.
Ring. Well, your sister and I are at least on the same page. Mac agreed with me.
That's okay. I'll take a $150 one. I just think K's is such a ripoff. It's like a corporate conglomerate with their prices jacked up 500%, and I don't like it. Why does running errands make you tired?
I don't know, because there's not a whole lot of energy output, but now I'm like,
it's like the most exhausting thing.
It is. No, I feel the fact that we have to sit down right now is a little bit hard for me, because I feel like I can do like 20 things. So I don't know if that's the errands or going to, we just got back or from the meth. Gym. Remember that. Wait, this is wrong the Sobriety Podcast.
Yeah, we went to TJ Maxx and tried a couple things on, and then I was like, I don't want to go to Sam's Club anymore. But we did find some great clothes. Oh. I've been tooting the horn for old Sam's Club. She's been making fun of me, but who had an awesome time in Sam's Club and found some really sweet clothes she liked? This girl right here.
You're revealing all the secrets of us being cheap assholes.
We're not cheap assholes. We're old people. We're excited about $12 shorts from Sam's Club. That makes us old.
It is true, because I did find there are some great shorts at Sam's Club.
Great right shorts. Now. They're great shorts.
I think the thing that's funny and why I give you a little bit of shit about Sam's Club is because the joy that it brings you going there. And the fact that before we got there, he was on the app looking for deals.
Yeah.
Like I'm marrying a couponer.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to have a stockpile in the garage.
No.
900 rolls of toilet paper.
Now, to be fair, I used zero coupons today. So the idea was nice. The thought was there, but zero coupons were there. Zero savings were had, except that we shopped at Sam's Club and everything is a great price. So we also got a rack of lamb that I'm going to grill that I'm really excited about. But we digress.
We've lost your listeners. We just talked about Sam's Club for 5 minutes.
Well, there's like some 37 plus year olds that are like, fucking right, dude, Sam's Club. But what I did want to talk about last week, I talked a little bit about practicing what we preach. And by that, I meant we recommend that people do things for themselves and not worry about other people and how they feel and do what makes them happy. And in essence, that's what we're doing with our wedding in Greece. And we're not having second thoughts, but we have, you know, a little bit of guilt around it. And we've been having, you know, a few conversations. So where are you with the whole eloping to Greece thing?
Well, I mean, I think eloping it's really exciting, but it feels just a little selfish.
Yeah.
Like I'm sad that, like, Katie, Myla, and Lyndon specifically, I think the girls not being there is my big, like, I feel bad. Mm-hmm. And then it's our families, you know, your mom and dad and Terry and Mac and my sister, brother. I do kind of wish they were going to be there. And I feel bad because we didn't, like, I think the thing that you and I have been talking about is we kind of told everybody we're eloping. And technically, everybody was allowed to come. We never extended any sort of offer. And now everybody's like, oh, I wish I was there. And I'm like, oh, we should have like been like, if you want to. But I think you made a great point earlier talking to your sister of it goes two ways. It sounds like, oh, we want you there. But hey, also spend a ton of money to come to our wedding. It feels like pretentious. Or
yeah, I know that's what kept me from inviting people was being like, hey, we totally want you to come. And then people have to feel guilty or just generally be like, why the fuck does this dude think I want to pay $7,000 to go to his wedding?
Yeah.
So it is a little, there's a lot of sides to it. But like I said, you know, I posted about it to give everybody the update. The other part of this that's difficult, we have family in four different states, at least. And we want everyone to come, and it's really hard to work around everyone's schedule and find a date that works for, you know, all the most important people. And I do think it's really important. This day is for us. It's about us. It's our day. And like I was saying to my sister, no matter what, we will leave there with an incredible memory where we had a great time and we got to focus on each other and spend a lot of quality time with each other. And I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah. And I'm excited. I mean, that's the thing. It's hard to be upset whenever there's something so great to look forward to. But, it, you know, I think the whole point is we love our families and love our friends. And there's a part of both of us that wishes that they could be there, but also we had a short engagement too. I mean, you proposed in December and I'm like, let's get married.
So, yeah, I was going to say, whose fault was that? I could have been engaged for 5 more years.
I don't want that. No, not.
That was not a thing.
Not when you're 35 and 36. It's I don't think it's a thing. But maybe some people will disagree with me. Some people stay engaged forever. I mean, I think it's what works for everyone. But
I also think the other thing that we talked about is that to me, you know, we're having the wedding, we'll make it official, whatever. But when we have our
reception,
is that what you're trying to think of? This is why I keep her around. When we have our reception, we can do a ceremony if we want. We can do the whole thing over again. And like, it's really, it's that day, but we can do it again for other, like, it's not that important that there's no rules that say we can't make our reception however we want it and do whatever kind of puddings ons or whatever you want to call it. I can't think of the word. whatever kind of putting zones we want to for, you know, when we have the actual party.
As we enter into a marriage, what do you feel like are our components of a successful relationship?
Well, are we driving right now? It's like, help me drive, help me how to run my podcast. This is great. What's the question, Ronan?
Isn't it hard?
What's the question?
What do you think is going to make our relationship successful long term?
I mean, this is going to sound like the Oprah stock answer, but in our case, it's very, very true, and it's simply communication. I think that we do a fantastic job of talking through our problems and helping each other to understand our side, but also on the reverse, taking responsibility for each of our parts and never making it like one person is 100% right. I mean, this is everything Cameron and I talked about on the last episode, but it really is what we do well. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I love with us, you know, I recommended to people in the last episode that you take a minute. And with us, whenever we take a minute, we come back and both of us are like, you know, I thought about it and I get where you're coming from. Mm-hmm. And we acknowledge the person and what they were saying and what we felt like we did wrong.
I agree, but I have a confession.
Okay.
I get upset that you know how to fight better than me. You do. You fight so much better than me. You're so much calmer. You don't yell. And there are times where I'm like, we're having a disagreement, but he's not even mad. And I try to take those notes from you. You're talking about like your partner. Like I think Cameron also acknowledged Ashley last week, talking about how like we've learned little things from you. And that's something that I would like to absorb a little bit more of, because I do still get a little more fiery than you do in an argument. Not that it's like screaming and yelling, because I feel like you're really good at not letting it get there. But there are times where inside I'm screaming and yelling.
When you're boiling. Yeah, I think for one, the simplest answer and reasoning for that is I've done the knockdown drag out, mm-hmm. like a lot.
Yeah.
And like fighting, screaming, physically fighting. And I have zero desire to do that ever again, to ever let it get to that level. And I think I told you that when we first started dating or whatever, like, I'm not going to call you a bitch. I'm not going to try not to raise my voice at you. I'm not going to call you names, and I'm definitely not going to do any kind of physical violence towards you. And I ask that you do the same, like not even slap me. I don't think it's acceptable.
Not even slap you. Like, it's like, that's like the minimum.
No, well, I think that in society, it's acceptable for a woman to slap a man.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
No, I meant you not even slap me.
Yeah.
Not me. Not,
I know, I got it.
Of course, I'm not going to slap you. No, but I meant there's this stigma gender thing where like a woman can slap a man and that's fine because she's the woman and whatever. But in my opinion, I don't want any kind of physical violence in either direction. Mm-hmm. And part of that is if you slap me or if a woman slaps a man, the man is going to get angry and then who knows what's going to happen. And I don't want to find out what that is. Like, mm-hmm. I just don't want to go there. I don't want to have any kind of physical violence. That's why I remain more calm, because I've done enough of it and I have no tolerance for it.
Yeah. And I think anytime I've been given advice or you hear other successful partnerships, it's always about communication. And things that I've learned and read is a good relationship is usually based on four pillars. Communication is one. Faith is typically one. Finances is one. And then family planning.
Mm. So. We're going to get into finances a little later.
Well, let's face it. Family planning is kind of out the window at this point for you and I.
Big mixed family.
Big mixed family. But I think communication is obviously key. And I do have to point out, I meant to bring Cameron's letter down here, because he even said in his letter, so Cameron made Henry and I both rosaries. The rosary that he made me, I plan to take to Greece and carry it with me on the wedding day. And he wrote this really sweet letter to us. And his advice was also communication. When I talk to my mom or my sister or friends, it's all about communication. And, you know, when my friends have problems with their husbands or something like that, it usually is based around a communication issue. So I do think that's one of the biggest things.
Yeah. And you know what's funny? I just had a realization, like every older couple preaches communication, but most of them aren't that good at it.
No, I think people understand that they maybe lack it, but it's hard to express your feelings sometimes, you know, especially like even whenever you and I talk, I'm like, I don't really know how to put into words how I feel, but it's like, you're patient enough with me for us to like kind of figure it out. And I don't always think people have that combination.
Yeah. And I think because of this wave of like mental health awareness and all that, that there is a lot more literature or talk or podcasts or media available that explain to you how to effectively communicate and talk about your feelings and how it makes you feel and all that. That wasn't available to the generation before us. So it was harder for them because no one really talked about it or stressed that it needed to be done.
Yeah. And I think gender roles were a lot different. Especially like I look at my grandparents, like my grandmother didn't even have a driver's license. So without my grandfather, she couldn't go anywhere. She couldn't even leave the house. She
couldn't get a credit card probably.
I have no idea. But
that was a newer thing. I learned that not too long ago that women weren't even allowed at one point to
have a line of credit.
Yeah.
Oh.
But that there was a lot of things. I mean, they weren't allowed to vote at one point.
I did not know that. That's super interesting.
Women weren't allowed to drive, but now they're allowed to drive from the passenger seat. Ba-doom. I'm sleeping on the couch. All right. So there are actually some things like this. We talked about finances, and one of the keys to our finance, us keeping our finances under control, is that, speaking of things women are and aren't allowed to do, Kristen is not allowed to order fajitas.
You know, I feel like this whole podcast is going to be me saying how you're better than me at a lot of things. Money is one of them. You are a much better saver. You invest. You're always looking at stuff. And I'm just like, here's my money from my paycheck that goes into my 401k. And that's what I'm going to retire on.
To be fair, a generous portion of your paycheck goes to your 401k. So big win there.
That was a high five.
They heard. They got it. That's one of the funny things. Like, it's our little joke that she's not allowed to have fajitas because I'm like, everything on the menu at the Mexican restaurant we go to is $14. Except the only thing she ever orders, which is the fajitas, which is $21. And it's like basically a meal for two, but I don't really want it. It's not quite enough for two. And she's
it's not really a meal for two.
She's not really a leftovers girl. So she takes her leftovers. She eats 33% of fajitas, throws the rest away in 4 days. But we have to spend $21. And, you know, all I'm saying is it adds up.
There are fajitas upstairs.
I just threw them away today. Did you? Yeah.
Like the defense is so, I have none. Like, because I have this knack, and you know it, about
finding the most expensive thing.
Can find the most expensive thing.
How about the marking paint?
Yeah, the spray paint. Lowe's. So we're in Lowe's and we're doing a huge backyard project. I know Henry has talked about it, but when we were kind of just, it was all in theory and we wanted to mark it out, we had to buy some paint, like spray paint. And he's like, pick a color. So I was like, the pink. I didn't look. The pink was like $3 more than every other color.
All of them were the same price, except the pink was the more expensive one.
Yeah. And that is me to a T.
Yeah.
I will find, it's not intentional. I'm not looking at the price, which is also my problem. I never look at the price. I'm just like, oh, okay. I need that. I'm going to buy it now.
Yeah. There's two sides to this argument, and the fajita things like kind of become a joke. Obviously you can get fajitas if you want, but, and on the other side of it is like the self-care and self-love type of like, If you love fajitas and you want to get fajitas, get fucking fajitas.
I love fajitas.
Shut up.
Can I please get fajitas?
Yeah, you can get. We decided since I gamble that you're. She saw me gambling one day. She's like, I can always get fajitas if you're going to fucking gamble. I was like, fine. Fair. That's fair.
So that's how we win arguments here.
Yeah.
That's our communication.
You gamble, I fajita.
But I feel like you do deserve the acknowledgement because I do think I need someone like that to say, look, pay attention to the price. Pay attention to what you're looking at because I will just buy it when there is the same thing three rows down or on the menu or something. It's good for me. So that's the other, like the acknowledgement of, you know, someone could take what you said, oh, she can't get fajitas and it sound really bad, yeah, but it's
parrots and butt curl over here.
But honestly, like I look at me and like the financial situation, I could be doing way better if I was more like you.
It's kind of a metaphor for all this. Like it's okay to get fajitas once in a while, but if everything is always the fajitas, that's all adding up. You know, like if our meal is $35 instead of $28, and then every single time, and then that's what I say is like, you multiply that across everything. If you treat everything that way and it's $5 here and $7 here and $12 here, like that all adds up.
No, you're absolutely right. I do think I don't deserve to be the only one that's looked at here because you're also a little bougie, but you, again, you admit it. You don't hide it. There are certain things like, you know, when I buy clothes, they're off Amazon. You're like, let's go to Polo.
Yeah, but I feel like women and men's clothing are so different. Like,
years will last.
Girls can buy
years.
A $3 Shein dress and look super hot. But a guy, if he's in like cheap clothing, it looks like shit. And also, Polo is good quality stuff that lasts long and feels good on your skin. I'm bougie. I am. Yeah. But like
you're controlled bougie though.
Yeah, but I also like have a polo and wear it for like 8 or 10 years.
Yeah,
so
I agree with all of that. But I think the point of all of this is, you know, we do talk about stuff. We have arguments. I listen back to like the first time I was on it, and I think we had not really fought very much at that point because we didn't really start getting into it until we lived together.
Yeah.
And that
makes sense.
And it's because of like getting to know each other better, sharing space together is completely different. Like challenges that come up are kind of silly, but they are out there.
I have said though, and you said I should have mentioned it on the podcast, but I have said that I think people would pay to fight the way that we fight.
Yes, you have said that.
Because our fights just aren't crazy. They aren't long and drawn out. They're not yelling, screaming, cussing. And they usually get resolved to where we both feel heard and seen and where we have like a plan of how to move forward and try not to have it happen again.
Yeah, I agree.
But what we will argue about is what is the proper way to load silverware?
In the dishwasher. do you want me to share my opinion first?
Yeah,
okay.
Go ahead.
So my thought process around how to put utensils in the dishwasher is to have the pointing parts out. So like the blade of the knife is pointing up, which I understand seems a little dangerous, but that's the part that touches the food. That's the part that has all the debris on it.
And where does the spray come from?
Underneath.
Correct.
So really we got to do this podcast today together because we need everyone to give us their feedback on
I think this might
what
be the
direction
poll question.
Do you go down with the forks or up and out with the forks? Because I notice that they are cleaner whenever I load the dishwasher when they come out.
How?
Because they don't have all the junk on it, or I just wash them better before you do.
All right, Your Honor, I would like to present my case. Exhibit one. I have firefighter friends, and they have been on many calls where the knives were pointing up and small toddlers fell on them and got hurt. That's exhibit A. I've told you that.
I don't think
you have a worse memory than me, dude. I swear I've told you that a million times. Exhibit A. Exhibit B. I'm reaching down in there to get it. Bam. Stab my hand. Cut my fucking hand. Exhibit C. The water sprays up from the bottom. So how would it the utensil dirty part being further away from the water be better? Exhibit D.
I'm gonna let
when
you
you're I hope you do
okay
when Taylor. You're Listen, Kanye, when you're unloading the dishwasher and putting them away, you're touching, and you can wash your hands, whatever. You're fucking touching the part with your hands that you eat off of. That's not what should be happening. I don't care whose hand it is. It's not like the end of the world, but you shouldn't be touching and dirtying with your bacteria and your fingers the side that you eat off of. You know, and I rest my case.
That I will give you that last point was good. Touching the top.
Yeah. That's.
But I still think they're cleaner when they're pointed up. Okay. And it's about how they look.
Okay. You know, here's one that I've always wanted to tackle that I think is funny.
Do I know about this one?
Kristen will always ask me, what is your favorite color of like a candy that we're eating? Mm-hmm. And I don't have a favorite color. I take 17 and shove them all in my mouth at one time. And I think this is a female and male thing. Kristen will daintily pick up one Skittle and take a bite and bite half of the Skittle.
I do not bite a Skittle in half.
In essence, you get what I'm saying.
But I eat one at a time.
But girls will take one and eat it in several bites. I take 15 and put them in my mouth. I don't know if I'm the only one that does this, but like most, I'm like, I don't know which flavors taste like what. I like all 17 of them together. And I think that is a male-female thing, like liking a color, because women will eat one at a time.
I even divide out like the chewy Starbursts into like the light pink, the medium pink, because I know what one is my favorite. So I want to save all of those. So I'll eat it in order.
Yeah.
Now I'm just explaining my OCD.
Yeah. I do that too, though, with some things. Like I eat my favorite thing last.
Yeah.
Where you save yourself the perfect bite of like, I want to have my steak last, so I'll finish my mashed potatoes and broccoli, so my last bite is steak.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a male-female thing, the flavor of each candy?
I don't know. I guess my friends and I don't discuss this enough, but I'm just like, I want to enjoy it. And I think I eat way less candy than you do, too. So
I eat way more candy than everyone.
You do. You eat so much candy.
I know.
It's so ridiculous. Well, you know, that is, I think, maybe a difference. I do. There are lots of things that are different between male and female. Like your next point.
Which is money? The Super Bowl flowers?
No. The Super Bowl flowers. That would relate more to like money. But also could relate to like differences between men and women. So like what this story is Henry and I are at the grocery store. It's before the Super Bowl. I want to buy flowers, red flowers. They were roses to put on the table because we were cheering for the 49ers. And Henry's like, don't buy that $30 bouquet of flowers.
I think it was like 40.
It might have been 40.
See, so once again, you fail to understand or notice how expensive something is.
So I put them back and then he's like, where are the flowers? And I was like, well, I didn't get them because they were expensive. We are at the car. He turns around, goes back into the store, and then he comes back with what I refer to as filler flowers. They're just like the cheap ones.
They're what most people call flowers.
The cheap ones. They're the ones you get for like $2 or $3 they bucks.
Were like lilies or something.
They were not lilies. Lilies aren't a filler flower.
Okay.
So by the end of this podcast, we will be breaking up.
Yeah. No, I just think no one's listening.
I know.
So I come out with the filler flowers.
You come out with the filler flowers. And I complained about that because they aren't flowers that I wanted on the table.
Which, back to the women and men thing, I would have never have thought that there were flowers that couldn't exist by themselves.
Right. And that's like, obviously, too, I had to consider my audience a little bit better. It was mostly men. Yeah. No one cared but
and
me.
And didn't Weiss compliment my filler flowers by themselves?
Do you remember, though, that you got the filler flowers and then you had to go back to the store and you brought me back roses so I could stick them in? And then everybody was complimenting the flowers, so we had to tell everybody the story.
But do you remember Happy Wife, Happy Life? So if I have to be financially irresponsible to put a smile on your face, I will.
Well, that was sweet.
For the listeners, she's melting right now. Sometimes, gentlemen, here's the lesson. Finances go out the window and you must just to see you smile, I'd buy any flower that you wanted me to. All right, I'm done. Oh,
but yeah. But you're talking about things that men and women, so what one person cares about, the other person might not. I think one of your big things is when people come over, I always am like, the dishes aren't done and this isn't picked up and we got to do this and that. And you're like, they don't care. But at the end of the day, I care.
But there's a difference between like, I'm like, hey, Ken's stopping by to pick up his cleats. Oh, the house is a mess. Like, nobody fucking, he's just grabbing his cleats.
Why do I have a super boss voice?
Oh, the house is a mess. Oh, how are we gonna die? Ken's gonna kill us.
No, I do. But you've tried. Like, here's, I think.
I get the house being presentable and all that, but there's different circumstances where it's not super important. And people who legitimately don't care because they're our good friends. And
yeah,
they're not going to.
I just am embarrassed sometimes. No, but I think here's the thing.
Some would say too often.
You.
Have you heard of this podcast? It's called the Rude Dude Podcast. It teaches you to not care what other people think.
I know. I still care what other people think too much. So I listen
to it. We're working on it.
But I think what I'm trying to say is the lesson I feel like that you've taken from it is if you know that the house is a mess and someone is just stopping by, you'll run something out to them because you know I don't want it seen. So it's a balance. And I think that's what's important.
Yeah. Or I'll help do some cleaning.
Yeah.
I knew when our travel agent was coming over the other day that you were going to want to clean. That's why you pushed it back. Yeah. So I helped clean.
Yeah. Especially new people. I don't want them seeing it's a mess.
All right. You have one more point for us to touch on here, it looks like.
Well, I feel like something that I've struggled with when you and I even were just dating is like asking for help and accepting help. And I think a lot of people struggle with that. I think women, and I don't want to generalize, but you get so used to carrying a lot of the weight of the house on your own,
mm-hmm.
like, and kids and everything else, that you stop asking for help. And that's something that I know I'm not always the best at, but I have friends that I feel like if they had a little bit more help from their husbands or partners, that they would be a little bit happier. And I know that it's not my greatest strength to ask for help, or even when it's offered, mm-hmm. not taking it. And I know that a lot of people just don't even ask. So I feel like that's something to point out. And it probably has a lot more to do with communication, but I feel like being aware that you need help or being aware of a weakness is super important. And I think that's one of mine, but I think it's one that many people share.
Yeah, I think that's a great point to bring up. And I do think a lot of people relate to that. And I want to talk to the women real quick and say that there's two sides to your point here, accepting help and asking for help. And you mentioned some of your friends would appreciate some more help from their husband. I'm going to generalize men, and I'm allowed to do it as a founding member of the male species. I created it. Adam over here. Men are stupid. Men don't think about things. Men don't fucking realize they've got footballs and baseballs and cars and tractors and shit going through their brain. They don't think of stuff. So we talked about communication. Ladies, if you want more help, you shouldn't have to ask. Fine.
Yeah, that's what I was
going to
say.
But if you want more help, mention it once in a while. I think if you have mentioned it and they don't do it or they're not willing, that's a different thing. But there's certain areas where it doesn't even occur to us or we're busy doing something else. But I think most men are more willing to help than women realize if they would just give us a task. And like I said, you know, maybe you shouldn't. There's a difference though. If you have asked many times before and they should know and they don't do it is one thing. and maybe I'm going to get setting myself up to get flamed here, but I think that it's important to let your man know what you would like help with and to point it out once in a while. You say you don't want to nag, but I don't think that you do really ever. And sometimes if you're ever like, hey, can you just take the trash out? I'll just do it. And I just hadn't thought of it yet.
I think that is one thing, like you said, I don't want to get flamed. I think that's part of the problem with, for women, is we just want it to be recognized that we could, the trash needs to go out. Or I heard this thing one time on like TikTok or something like that, but it was like when a partner doesn't do the trash, let's just use that as an example, that it then becomes just another thing on the female's to-do list to tell you to take the trash out. So it compiles. So I would say, like, pay attention to your partner. You're good at this, mostly. but I know that it's something that a lot of partnerships lack. And I think it ends up leaving one person feeling a little stranded.
I think, of course, there are a lot of different exceptions to this point. But I think there is this disconnect between what women want and think is an acceptable level of X and what men want and think about and think, like we talked about, a man would live in a cardboard box if it had a couch and an Xbox, you know, like, and I'm bougier than a lot of men. I would say I like nice things. And
I will say, like, areas. When I first started dating you and I went to your house and it had decorations and plants and a rug that matched the couch.
Yeah.
I was like, wow.
But there are certain things where it's like, ooh, I don't want, like a woman will be like, I don't want that there. And I'm like, that's fine. I didn't notice. But what I'm trying to say is, should there be a level of a man should know and should just do it? Of course. But the disconnect, I think, is where a woman thinks this is unacceptable and a man doesn't even notice. And a woman wants him to just notice and it doesn't even cross a man's mind. And here we have this disconnect in the middle where it's like, it didn't bother me at all. I wouldn't even have thought to do it. And the woman, he should have just thought. And now we're mad at each other because we didn't just have a conversation and say, and again, there's exceptions and there's circumstances where we should know or we have talked about it. But some things, if we never talked about it and you never let me know it was a problem and you never mentioned it before and I didn't, my point is in both directions, men or women, let your partner know and give them the opportunity to do it without being asked after you've explained to them that it's something that matters to you. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's not fair to just hold this thought or standard in your head, but never mention it and then be mad because they didn't do it.
Yeah.
So I not think just we're having conversations about the hard thing, but our relationship is not like all comprised of only these hard things.
No, we have a really good, I'm really happy with you and I love you and you're a great partner.
And I love you too.
Just so that everybody knows that I think for me, like as I'm talking about this, and you and I have joked about this before, but I'll be having conversations with friends and you're like, what's it feel like to not have anything to complain about? Because,
well, you don't have stuff to complain about with me where their husband's telling them what they're allowed to wear to the gym and they're not allowed to have a job and they have an allowance that's not enough money and they can't go on trips.
Yes.
They can't have girls' nights. Yeah. Those are major problems. Yeah. Our problems are Cadillac problems. That's my point. It's like Henry loaded the silverware upside down or forgot to take the trash out. It's not like he told me I have to wear a beekeeper suit to the gym and I'm not allowed to wear makeup. And if a man talks to me, I have to jump through the window immediately.
Right, right. Because I think whenever, you know, I come home and I talk about things I talk to my girlfriends about. And, you know, everybody complains about their partner. Everybody has little gripes. And that's, I have one friend and I really respect this about her. Her name's Kate. I guess I can say that because it's not bad. but Kate never talks poorly about her husband in any capacity, like barely complains. Like he might do one small little thing and she'll bring it up, but it is not a whole point of conversation. And it's something I really respect about their relationship, is I feel like they have a mutual respect for each other where they're not talking badly about one another to their friends, to other people, to give anyone this poor perception of mm-hmm. their partner. And I feel like I'm lucky enough that I don't have a lot of those complaints either.
I think that's super important too. I'm very careful when I do complain, because I think it's important to talk to your friends about stuff to get it off your chest. But I always qualify my things like, it's not like that big of a deal, and she's not like a huge bitch or anything, but she does this thing where it kind of bothers me. So I always qualify it where I'll never be like, God, she fucking is the worst. And I think people need to think about that more, like in the extreme example mm-hmm. where you air your shit on Facebook, he's a cheating piece of shit and their family fucking, and then how dumb do you look
yeah.
when you're back on his dick in yeah. 3 days, which yeah. happens all the time. So I think that is a great point. Like, protect be careful, partner. Protect your partner, mm-hmm. you know, and keep your real dirty laundry between the two of you and resolve your problems internally. It's okay to talk to your friends and have your little complaints, but you know, you don't want to put them down, because then if you make your friends hate your partner and then you stay with them, what have you done?
Right. Cause I, you know, in those scenarios where you brought up a couple of specific points, it's like, you know, you try to support and be that friend that listens and eventually you start giving advice. And at some point it's like, well, if you're not going to make a change,
loser?
Yeah. Like there's not like no changes are being made. So what are you doing?
Yeah. And if you don't plan on doing anything about it, then maybe just shut the fuck up, because I don't want to hear you talk about your piece of shit husband anymore that you're not going to leave. So how about yeah. that?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we've given the people a window into how much we hate each other.
No.
Which is not at all.
Not at all.
No, I think it's a good conversation to have. And, you know, we're highlighting all the tough stuff, but it's not a lot of tough stuff.
No, but tough stuff might come, but I want to go through that with you.
Mm-hmm. Tough stuff will happen. We want to thank Cameron again for the gorgeous rosaries. And I don't know why, I'm sorry, but I was expecting like the kits that you buy 5-year-olds to make bracelets, like
beads,
plastic like, bullshit beads.
Yarn.
And, like, he's got these heavy like marble fucking beads and crosses, and they're really gorgeous, and he mailed them out to us, mm-hmm. got them here in time. We will have a piece of our friend, and it's Kristen's something blue.
Mm-hmm.
Have it with us when we get married. So thanks again, Cameron. We're wishing you a speedy recovery, my boy. And I will end this. Why don't you guys go follow us on Facebook? Also, whatever platform you're listening on, make sure you follow, like, subscribe, and rate it. And support our sponsors, Pods Beats and the Insurance Lab. And I will end this how Cameron always ends this. I love you, Cam, and I love you, Kay.
I love you too, Hen. Oh, I have to say that, don't I? And remember, be who you are and fuck what they think.
Mm.
Is that right?
Be yourself.
Be yourself. Let me go back. Can you edit that part out? Be yourself and fuck what they think.
And do what makes you happy.
Hey, Rude Gang, do you want to elevate your podcast listening experience? Well, look no further. Our sponsor, the Podbeat app, can seamlessly blend your favorite style of music with any podcast. Customize your listening like never before. Feeling like some hip-hop? Podbeat has you covered. How about some hard rock for your next hard-hitting episode? You guessed it, Podbeat has it all. Do yourself a favor and download the Podbeat app. Transform your podcast listening to a new level. Download Podbeat today.
Choose the insurance lab.
Are you tired of cookie-cutter insurance plans that don't truly cater to your needs? The Insurance Lab is revolutionizing the insurance industry with personalized plans tailored just for you and your business. With 15 years of experience in the insurance business, including 10 years in commercial, their founder and friend of the dudes, Joey Hensler, knows all the ins and outs of the industry. Frustrated by the lack of individualized care at larger companies, he decided to start his own business. Whether you're in need of home, auto, or commercial insurance, he's got you covered. From machine shops to salons and even cannabis dispensaries, they specialize in insuring businesses of all kinds. At the Insurance Lab, you're more than just a policy number. You're a valued client. Need to speak with the owner? He's just a phone call away, ready to address any questions or concerns you may have. So if you're ready to experience the difference that personalized insurance can make, get in touch with them today at 916-957-1933 or visit the show notes for links. And let the Insurance Lab give you a free customized quote today.